Well, good weekday evening. Today is Thursday, April 11th. The time is 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time here in New York, and you are tuned in to the weekly edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. I'm your host, Brother Alan Weir, for this 1 hour plus, if necessary, period of time in comparison to eternity when we come together for prayer, supplication, intercession, prayer warfare on behalf of our unsaved and wayward sons and daughters. This is a live podcast, and we welcome your participation in it. This podcast was born approximately 2 years ago out of my own burden for my two adult children, my son and my daughter, who I've been praying for constantly for their deliverance and salvation so that their names are written in the book of life. And they will spend eternity with our Lord Jesus Christ and all the rest of the saints who are saved. And so we come together every Thursday for a mutual encouragement, comfort, strengthening, and just to share the word of God with each other. You know, many of us have unsaved or backslidden or wayward sons and daughters. Some are teenagers and they may have been involved in the church, and for some reason or another, they have wandered away from the faith. They no longer have an interest in the things of eternity, and they no longer come to church or have any interest in reading their Bibles, lured away, unfortunately, by the temptations in the world. Partying or maybe peer pressure has lured them away from the things of God, and they've put the things of eternity in the background, not giving a second thought to their eternal souls and their eternal salvation. Some of us have prodigal sons and daughters who have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Perhaps they know the gospel, they're familiar with the gospel, but perhaps they're under the impression that they have plenty of time. It isn't necessary, they feel, to accept Christ right now. They may be in the best of health, plenty of money, plenty of food, and things are going well. And so they put the things of eternity in the background under the false delusion, the satanic false delusion, that they have all the time in the world to turn to the Lord. We all know the story of the rich young ruler and the word of God. The Bible says he fared sumptuously, and he thought he had all the time in the world. But the word of God also says that it was said, "Thy soul shall be required of thee." And he entered eternity without accepting Christ as his Lord and Savior. Some of us have prodigal sons and daughters, and they are incarcerated, and we worry about them in those dangerous environments, praying for them, that perhaps maybe a prison ministry, maybe even a cellmate or another inmate who's a believer will witness to them. Some of us have prodigal sons and daughters who are in drug rehabs, battling the strongholds of addiction, whether it's drugs or alcohol. And we pray for them that they get delivered from these strongholds, which can ravage the mind, the body, as well as the soul. Some of us have prodigal sons and daughters who are living at home, and they have no desire whatsoever to listen to the things of God or to talk about the things of God. They push aside the things of eternity. Maybe when they get spoken to, they become irritated or irritable, and they don't want to be bothered. They tell you to leave them alone. And so we pray that the Lord soften their hearts and open up their minds. And some of us have prodigal sons and daughters, and we don't know where they are. We don't know if they're alive or dead, God forbid, or if they're in good health, if they're going hungry. In the parable, or the story, rather, of the prodigal son, the father had no idea where his son was. This was a time when there were no cell phones, of course, no email, no instant message, no way to contact his father and for his father to contact him. The son left home, and the father had no idea how his son was doing. All he could do was pray and commit his son to the Lord's hands. And he kept on watching the road for his son's return. And ultimately his son did return, but the father placed his son in the Lord's hands. And that's what we need to do with our prodigal children, place them in God's hands. And so again, we come together every Thursday at the same time to pray and to petition the Lord, even enter prayer warfare. We have numerous requests we'll be bringing before the throne of grace as we pray for their deliverance and salvation. Again, this is a live podcast, and we welcome your participation. There is still time to get your prayer requests in. If you're listening on the Podbean app, you can type, I believe the correct word is type, your prayer request, and our brother Jamie, our sound person, our tech person — I am not a tech person. Our dear brother Jamie is our tech person. He'll see the prayer requests, and he'll let us know what requests came in, and we will lift it before the throne of grace. Maybe you have a testimony you'd like to give on what the Lord is doing in your life or the life of your prodigal. Maybe you have a scripture you'd like to share or a word of encouragement. Something you have to say can be a source of encouragement to someone who needs to hear a good word. I know I need to hear a good word many times too. Despite the fact that I'm hosting this podcast, there are many times when I need strengthening and encouragement as I continue to pray for the deliverance and salvation of my prodigal children as well. My son accepted Christ as his Lord and Savior, and this was about a year back, and I continue to pray for my daughter. We have a variety of listeners who are tuning in many municipalities. We want to welcome listeners in New York, California, Colorado, Pennsylvania, North and South Carolina, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, Connecticut, Idaho, and Georgia. We have parents of prodigals listeners in Alabama, Maryland, Tennessee, Texas, Ohio, Utah, Wisconsin, West Virginia, New Jersey, Montana, Nebraska, Illinois, and Minnesota. We welcome listeners in Louisiana and New Hampshire, the state of Oregon, the state of Washington, Rhode Island and Indiana, Arizona, Michigan and Iowa, New Mexico, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, and Wyoming. Internationally, we have listeners in Mexico, Canada, Australia, France, Uganda, Brazil, the United Kingdom, Bosnia-Herzegovina, the Philippines, India, Germany, New Zealand, Zimbabwe, Tanzania, Japan, Russia, and Ireland. We welcome all of you for tuning into the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Now, because of time differences in many localities, or perhaps maybe people are working and they cannot tune in live, this podcast is available on a download. After we conclude being live on the air, you can download this podcast and tune in at a later time. You don't have to be listening live for the Spirit of God to perform the miraculous in your life, though. Spirit of God is not constrained or restrained by time or space. He can move just as powerfully in a downloaded podcast as he can if you're listening live. So again, we welcome you all to this edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. This is a special edition of the podcast. We have a guest with us this evening who's going to be providing her testimony on how she came to Christ. And of course, the enemy is always at work trying to lure people away from the throne of grace. So she'll be sharing her spiritual journey, how she came to the Lord, what was going on before she accepted Christ, what temptations tried to lure her away. All this information, she'll be providing encouragement and her personal story. Her name is Sister Maria de la Cruz, and she is in our studio with us right now. Sister, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you. Thank you, Brother Allen, for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you.
Thank you.
We're going to be going into our devotional, but before we do, I'm going to ask our sister to lead us in an opening word of prayer.
Okay. Heavenly Father, we just thank you tonight, Lord. Father, any opportunity that we have to exalt you, to just talk about you, is such an honor and a privilege, Lord. Father, I pray that all the listeners, Father God, that you can touch their hearts, Lord. Those that have petitions before you, you know what the petitions are, Lord. Father, I pray, oh God, that you strengthen them, Lord. Bless this opportunity. Bless this program right now, Father God, and just let your Holy Spirit just be all over us, oh God. We honor you and we praise you and we magnify you, Lord, knowing that you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we pray in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, sister, so much for that. And our sister will be back soon to tell us her story, a story of comfort and strengthening and encouragement as well. Well, the title of tonight's devotional is Our Prodigals, Raised and Salvaged. Our Prodigals, Raised and Salvaged. And our text is taken from the Gospel of Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 31. That's correct. The entire chapter, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 31, which is often referred to by many as the Lost and Found chapter, because of the three parables that are found here regarding that which was lost, sought after, and then found. And I'll give you a moment to find that scripture text in your Bibles. In 1973, the wreckage of the Civil War warship, the USS Monitor, was discovered off the coast of North Carolina after sinking in 1862. In the year 1995, another Civil War warship, the Hunley, was discovered off the coast of South Carolina after it sank in 1864. And in 1973, fishermen discovered the famous Jesus boat, a first century Galilean fishing boat that dates back to the time of Christ. Now, what do all three of these shipwrecks have in common? Well, number one, they were all considered to be lost. Two, all three were ultimately discovered, as well as brought to the surface, salvaged, and restored. And three, when they were discovered, and then they were brought to the surface and salvaged, there was rejoicing by those that were involved in their discovery and restoration. Now, not every shipwreck that is discovered can be salvaged. The Titanic, which sank in 1912, was discovered in 1985. But because of how deep and how badly damaged the wreck is, it is impossible to raise it and salvage it. But praise be to God, that is not the case with our prodigal sons and daughters. They are not too far gone, nor are they are their lives so badly damaged that God cannot perform the miraculous in their lives. And what was true for these three amazing discoveries, their salvaging and restoration is also true when our prodigals are sought after by our Lord, and their lives are salvaged from the muck and mire of sin, and their lives are restored. So let's read our scripture text together, Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 31, and I'll be reading from the New King James Version of God's Holy Word. And then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." And so he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost.' I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which was lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." And then he said, "A certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me.' And so he divided into them his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry. And now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And so he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, Your brother has come, and because he has received him safe and sound, your father has killed the fatted calf. But he was angry and would not go in. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to him, his father, Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandment at any time, and yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him. And he said to him, Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. In these three parables, we can see three characteristics of our Lord's care, concern, and response to the rescue and restoration of our prodigal sons and daughters. First, in the parable of the lost sheep. In the first century, many flocks were roughly this size. Shepherds, hirelings, and other herdsmen often watched over the animals together, so that the shepherd himself, no one else, would leave the flock with the others while searching for the lost sheep. He did this alone, disregarding personal safety from bandits or wild animals, the safety and recovery of that lost sheep first and foremost in his mind. This endeavor was the personal concern of the shepherd. What a tremendous picture of the intense love and self-sacrifice of our Lord, who in response to our prayers will seek out our prodigals as they are lost in the wilderness of sin. Two, in the parable of the lost coin. Now, while men were out working or tending to business matters, women would usually be the ones left in the house. And as archaeological discoveries have shown, people often lost coins between loosely fitted stones in the floors of the homes. Oil lamps from this time period were small and would fit in the palm of the hand, so that the one searching for the coin, usually the woman, would hold a lamp in one hand close to the floor while sweeping and straining to try to hear the noise of the coin as she swept. Excuse me. Here is a picture of the intensity and the lengths that our Lord will go to in reaching out to our unsaved and wayward sons and daughters. In both this parable and the previous one, the search was conducted, our text says in verses 4 and 8, until what was lost was found. And three, in the parable of the lost or prodigal son, here we see the father's response to his rebellious son's return. But was there an additional explanation besides joy when he ran to his son? Yes, there was. For an elderly man to run in this culture was extremely unusual and very humiliating. And yet the father ran, and not just because he was filled with compassion. In that culture, a Jewish son who disgraced his family in rebellion would have been subject to a ceremony on his return to the village that was called the Kazaza, in which the villagers would have broken a large pot at his feet and yelled at him, telling him that he was now cut off from the village and the people. So when the father ran to his son, it was also partly because he wanted to reach the son before the rest of the village could get to him. He is literally running to save him instead of subjecting him to the utter shame of the Kazaza, the judgment, rejection, and the casting out of the son. The father embraces him, showing the village that his son is forgiven, and then moves to quickly restore him through the killing of the fatted calf. The robe that's put on the son would have been the father's, and the family signet ring would have symbolized forgiveness and restoration. The entire village would have attended a feast that night, and the son would have publicly been restored. The son who was dead, made alive again. What a picture of rejoicing by our Lord, of the deliverance and salvation of our wayward sons and daughters. Now, in fact, in all three parables, it's described the responses of the shepherd, the woman, and the father was one of rejoicing, with not just one, but two Greek words being used. Chiron, meaning the delight and happiness of the one doing the seeking and the finding and the restoration, and sukhairo, which signifies rejoicing with others as well in the salvation, salvaging, and restoration of that which was lost. A picture of the joy that we have as parents when the Holy Spirit convicts our prodigals of their sin and they return to Christ. Fellow parents of prodigals, 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 says, God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 4 says, God, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And finally, Luke chapter 19, verse 10 says, For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Although our prodigal sons and daughters may be under the turbulent ways of sin, they are not beyond our Lord's ability to save and restore. Keep praying, keep fasting, continue to be salt and light before them, and most of all, continue to trust and believe for their deliverance and salvation. Psalm 25, verse 3 has a promise for us. No one who hopes in the Lord will ever be put to shame. I praise God for that word that was given to me to share with you this evening. Sister Maria, do you have any thoughts?
Well, that was perfect. There's no better story than the story of the prodigal son and just the three stories of things that were lost and then were found. That's how you feel, you know, when you come to Christ and you realize what he's saved you from and how much he loves you and how much he runs after you. I know in my case, that's what it was. I mean, I just understood how much God loved me and he chased after me and he was patient with me, even when I wasn't even thinking about him. And so, those stories just make me want to cry because I understand how much God loves us. And I think that that's the important thing to know, that God loves you so much that he'll leave everything just to come after you. That if you were the only person in the world, he still would have did what he did. He would have went to the cross and died just for you. And so I hope that penetrates and you come away with that knowing that how much God loves you.
Yeah. Thank you for that insight. Yeah. You know, there's a verse in scripture that says the Lord's hand is not too short that it cannot save. And I mentioned during the devotional that the Titanic is so far deep into the ocean, and the ocean currents where it's located in the Atlantic are so rough. It is impossible to raise the Titanic and to salvage it. It's just the waves are too rough. The weather out there is too bad, and it's so far deep into the ocean, and the condition of the wreck is such that it just cannot be raised. And a lot of times we may feel that way about our prodigals, that they are so deep into sin and their condition is so bad that we sometimes believe, even though we pray, sometimes the enemy can discourage us into believing they're too far deep, like the Titanic, too far deep into sin, and their condition is too far. They're too far gone. The Lord can save somebody else. Somebody else is prodigal, but your prodigal is beyond hope, beyond remedy, beyond saving. But again, like in the devotional, God's hand is not too short that it cannot save. Your prodigal may be a spiritual shipwreck, deep in sin. And there are turbulent waves all over them. And their condition may be such that the enemy is telling you, there's no way. There is no way they're going to get saved. I know myself, I have felt that way many times too. But again, the Lord's hand is not too short that I cannot save. And all things are possible to those who believe. All things are possible. You know, I'm thinking about the story of Lazarus when he was raised from the dead.
Amen.
You know, the Hebrews believed that when a person died, the spirit of that dead person would hover over the gravesite for 3 days. After 3 days, on the fourth day, the spirit would depart, and that person was dead. They were gone. No hope of coming back to life. And because there was a three-day period where it was possible for the person to come back to life, the tomb was not permanently sealed. Because if the spirit re-entered the body, the person would need to come out of the tomb. Now, for those 3 days, the family would hire professional mourners. The louder they were, the more noise they made, the more likely the spirit could re-enter the body and the person would come back to life. That was the Jewish custom that they believed. Well, Jesus didn't come on day one. He didn't come on day two. He didn't come on day three. He came after the 3 days were up and the tomb was sealed. He came at a point where there was no hope of resurrection. Now, if Christ had shown up within the three-day period and raised Lazarus from the dead, the people may have dismissed it by saying, oh, well, it was the mourners who did it. It was the spirit re-entered the body. Jesus purposely waited until all hope was gone. He didn't show up for that three-day period. After 3 days, the tomb gets permanently sealed, decomposition sets in, the spirit leaves, and the person is dead, dead, dead without any hope of resurrection. And that's the way we can feel about our prodigal sons and daughters. And when Jesus did show up, Lazarus' sisters told Jesus, you know, if you had shown up sooner, this would not have happened. And Jesus told them, this is not unto death. If you believe, you'll see the glory of God. And if we believe, and we trust the Lord with the deliverance and salvation of our prodigals, we also will see the glory of God. Now, why did Jesus do this to Lazarus' sisters? Did he do it to see them sweat? Did he do it because he couldn't raise Lazarus from the dead? Did he do it because he didn't care? None of those reasons. And those are the very reasons that Satan would whisper in our ears about our prodigals, that God's trying to make us sweat by not answering our prayers for our prodigals. Or maybe he doesn't care about our prodigals and he's taking his time answering our prayer. Or maybe the enemy's whispering in our ears that, well, probably the Lord can't do it. That's why it hasn't happened yet. All three of those things are lies. And who knows, the enemy may have whispered those things into Lazarus' sister's ears as well. But again, Jesus told them that if they believed, they would see the glory of God. And sure enough, Lazarus was raised from the dead, and they did see the glory of God. And he also told them, if they believed, all things were possible if you believe. And that's how we need to approach the deliverance and salvation of our prodigal sons and daughters. You may think that there is no hope. The spiritual tomb is sealed, and they are not going to come back to life. But if you believe, you'll see the glory of God. When it's going to happen, I don't know. The Lord has his own timing, and he has his own process. We need to trust him with the timing of their salvation and how he does it. It's a scary thing to tell God, Lord, do what it takes to save my prodigal. Have your own way, Lord, and do it in your timing. He knows what he's doing. He knows when the best time is to do it. The hardest thing, of course, is to hand over our prodigals to the Lord and trust him completely. A lot of times we want to stick our hands into the machinery, realizing we can probably only make things worse. We need to hand over our prodigals to our Heavenly Father and let him do what needs to be done in his own way and in his own time. Praise God.
Amen.
Well, we've reached the halfway mark of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and at this time, we're going to break into a musical interlude. We're going to play two numbers, which I hope will encourage and strengthen you. And after these two numbers are played, we're going to be coming back with our sister Maria de la Cruz, who will give her testimony. And after her testimony, we're going to enter the throne room and come before the throne of grace and present to the Lord our petitions for the prodigals that we're going to be praying for. So without further ado, here is our musical interlude. Be blessed, and we will return with the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. Stay tuned.
El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkana Adonai. I will praise and lift you high, El Shaddai. Through your love and through the realm, save the Son of Abraham. Through the power of your hands, turn the sea into dry land. To the outcast on her knees, you were the God who really sees. And by your might, you set your children free. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, Elyon Adonai. Age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkana Adonai. I will praise you till I die, El Shaddai. Through the years you made it clear that the time of Christ was near. Though the people couldn't see what Messiah ought to be, though your words contain the plan, they just could not understand. Your most awesome word was done in the frailty of your Son. El Shaddai, El Shaddai, age to age, you're still the same. By the power of the name, El Shaddai, El Shaddai, El Kamkana Adonai. I will praise you till I die, El Shaddai. I will praise you till I die.
Time comes, I want to be there. And when that time
Okay, we hope you were blessed by those two musical numbers. Praise God. We have returned with the second half of the Parents of Prodigals podcast. As I said earlier, we have a special guest, my dear sister, Maria de la Cruz. Maria is a member of Soul Purpose Evangelical Church, of which my wife and I and our sound man, Jamie, and his family are all members of. And she has graciously consented to coming on the air and providing her testimony and talking about how the Lord has saved her and performed a miraculous in her life. And so without further ado, I'm going to reintroduce my sister, Maria de la Cruz. Sister, again, thank you so much for being on our podcast. Tell us your story. Tell us where you were, how you came to the Lord and your spiritual journey. The ups and the downs and the blessings and the challenges.
Amen. Well, thank you once again for having me, Brother Alan. I just want to read a scripture, if I may, before I start my testimony. And it is from Psalms 139, verse 7 to 9, 10 actually. And it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me and your right hand shall hold me." And that verse is just, it's one of my favorite verses. So yeah, let's start from the beginning. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. My parents were not Christian, didn't talk about the Lord. Knew nothing. We were a very dysfunctional family. My mom and my dad. My dad was addicted to gambling. His thing was off-track betting, the horses. My mom dabbled in the occult from as far back as I can remember. When my dad wasn't home, she would, you know, bring people over and they would do all kinds of rituals. So that was the environment that I grew up in. Lots of fighting. Just lots of dysfunction. But there was a neighbor, and she was a born-again Christian, Pentecostal. Her and my mom became friends, and she, you know, would ask my mom, you know, "Let me take the girls with me to church." And that was my introduction to the things of the Lord. And I never got to thank her. I know I'll see her in glory and just let her know how much she impacted my life and what a part she played. And so she would take us to church, and I was young and I just loved to go because I wanted to get out of my house because my parents were always fighting and there was a lot of just, it was awful. So we would go to church and I didn't understand the things of God. And they had these little programs at the time, the Royal Rangers and the Missionettes. And so I joined that and just learned about Jesus in that way. And it was a Pentecostal church, and thank God it wasn't. I hear a lot of stories about legalism and all kind of things that happened in the church. The church that I went to was not like that, thank God. It was very balanced. And so
now, how old were you around this time?
I was around eight.
Eight, okay.
8 years old. And so, like I said, I would go because it was fun to get out of my house and would hear the stories of Jesus and, you know, the Bible, but I didn't really understand, or it didn't really take hold, because when I would leave church, it was back into that environment of fighting and mm-hmm. screaming and yelling and things like that. So that's what it was. It was kind of like a back and forth, just a ping pong. And, you know, looking back now, it's like, wow, that, you don't think those things impact a child, but they do. So, you know, if you are one of those that are taking a neighbor's kids to church or things like that, you have no idea what an influence you have on them. And so continue to go to church, you know, well into my early teens. But then there was the pull of meeting a boy, and, you know, I liked the boy, and it was like, you know, trying to see what was happening outside. And my parents were very strict. They didn't let us go out. But when, you know, when I was in school, that's when, you know, you would meet up with your friends and things like that. And so the pull of just seeing them hanging out and just doing things kind of like piqued my curiosity. And then I will go to church and be like, oh Lord, I'm so sorry, you know, and then go back out and hang out with my friends. And I remember, like, I didn't understand the things of God. Like, we would go to church and see people, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit. And I thought it was funny. I would laugh and people would be speaking in tongues, and I had no fear of God. I had no respect for the things of the Lord. And so I would see that. I remember me and my brother would be in the back of the church just laughing and oh my God. And one day I was in the back of the church and they were praying. They were going to start an all-night vigil, because back then the churches, the Pentecostal churches, had the vigilias. I don't know if you say it in English. And so I was in the back, and then I was just back there standing and doing absolutely nothing to, you know, get into the presence of the Lord. And all of a sudden, I was not in the church anymore. I was on a mountaintop. I was on my face, and I knew that the Lord was standing in front of me, and he wasn't angry with me, but he was just like, what are you doing? Like, why are you, you know, why are you not, you know, and I knew what he was trying to tell me, because I would go and laugh and I would see people, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I would just be very disrespectful in the back and talking while they were preaching, things like that. And I was just so ashamed, and oh my gosh, I was crying. But while this was happening, while I was having this vision with the Lord, my neighbor said, I crawled to the front of the church on my knees and I crawled to the altar. And when I came back to myself, I was at the altar crying. And that just like changed for me. That just changed everything. I wanted more of God. I knew he was real. You know, I had an experience with him. And so I was like, oh my gosh, like, this happened to me. And I started coming to church and I wanted to read the word, but no one really came alongside to disciple me. Like, nobody, you know, came alongside me. And I, you know, was just so hungry. I wanted more. I wanted to have more of an experience. And, yeah, no one came alongside to disciple me. And so it kind of, you know, I didn't understand about prayer and fasting and having a constant seeking of the Lord. You know, I was reading the word, but I really didn't understand it. And so you know, little by little, that just started to kind of die out. And it went back to me going and school and hanging out with my friends. And it was kind of that back. But every time I would come back to church, I would feel so like, oh my God, God's not going to forgive me this time. And it just got more and more in my head. Like, you keep doing this, he's not going to forgive you. This is it. And so I kind of just drifted away that little by little until I was pulled out. And that was it. And then I got out of the protection of the Lord. And the first thing I met was this older gentleman. I was about 16. He was about 21, 22. And he was pretty scary. And he was like, you're going to be my girlfriend. And so, yeah. And that happened. And then it became very abusive, very physically abusive, emotionally abusive. And I became pregnant with my first child, my daughter. And even then God was so merciful to me because, you know, this gentleman he was addicted to drugs. And at that time I didn't know a lot about drugs. I mean, you know, beer and maybe marijuana, but he was into like a lot of hardcore stuff that I didn't know. And, so he would just like be violent towards me and accuse me of all kinds of things. And I didn't understand what was happening. And so that went on and I just kind of resigned myself because it was so bad that I thought, okay, this is how my life is going to end. He's going to kill me. And that's it, because, you know, he was so abusive towards me. And I tried to keep it from my parents because I didn't want them to know, because he would always threaten that he would harm my mom or my dad. And his mom, she would see him doing this to me and she just would not get involved. And so I was like, oh man, this is it. And then, and he started to get like more and more addicted to drugs. And then he started to kind of like commit armed robberies and things like that. And he got arrested and was sent to prison for about 10 years. And that was my escape from all of that. And looking back, when I came to the Lord, he showed me all of those things that were happening. But so, yeah, I was a different person after that. After that experience, it just changed who I was. It was like I was just a different person. You know, I was very full of rage and anger, and I didn't understand why he was like that with me. But anyway, it just made me into a different person. And then I have my daughter, and I was now a single mom, and I didn't teach her anything about the Lord. I didn't instruct her in the ways of God at all. You know, I was just trying to navigate and just, you know, work and provide, and that was it. And just not there for her emotionally or anything like that. And so, you know, just went on and got into a lot of different kind of lifestyles. I started to, you know, dance in strip clubs, and then I became addicted to drugs myself at one point. And was just trying all different kind of lifestyles, and just I was going both ways. It was just a lot of confusion in my mind, and just, you know, and I know it was that the devil did not want me to turn to God. He was just trying to keep me distracted and just keep me on this hamster wheel, trying to just go through life. And when I was at the club, there was this older gentleman that would always come in there at night, and he was like, why are you here? Like, what are you doing here? And I would get annoyed with him because I was like, listen, you know, we're here for something. Just don't ask me that. And he would just constantly ask me. And, you know, and in all of this, I was still attending school. Like I did graduate high school. I went to college, and I knew that that was something that I needed to finish. And, so I took an EMT course while I was at the college. It was like a program that they had. And it just happened to turn out that this old gentleman was the director of EMS programs for the city of New York. And but he would always ask me, like, what do you want to do with yourself? Like, you don't belong here. And I know that he was an instrument that God used. And then he was like, well, what do you want to do with yourself? I was like, I don't know. You know, I'm just here trying to pay bills and whatever. And I'm trying to finish school. He was like, well, what do you want to do when you finish school? I was like, I don't know. I took an EMT program. I just happened to blurt it out. He's like, oh my gosh. And he gives me these two business cards and he's like, please call these people on Monday. And I called both places and I got offered two full-time jobs at the same time. So that was how I was able to get away from that, working at the club and dancing and things like that, because, you know, you can get hooked to that money pretty easily. And, but like I said, God was just every step of the way, he was just there, just putting people in my path. And so I was able to get two full-time jobs. Actually, I would work Monday through Thursday, one job, and then the weekends, the other job. But still, I just, you know, wasn't even thinking about God, wasn't even, you know, even though I had that experience, which is crazy, because you would think with an experience like that, and you ended up, you know, walking away. And yeah, but, and so I started working and was still like hanging out with my friends. And, you know, on the weekends, if I was off, we would go and just like, you know, and like I said, God would always put somebody in my path. I remember me and my friend, we were hanging out at her house and we were about to like do some drugs, and her mom was praying in the back, and her mom comes out and she's speaking in tongues, and she comes and puts her hand on my head and starts praying for me. And I was like, oh my gosh. Needless to say, I left. I, you know, didn't do anything that night, but God was just constantly putting people there. And then I started to work EMS, and I got into that, and you know, that was going to be my career. And like I said, God would always put people there. There would always be people that would be like, oh, you know, God loves you. And I would be like, yeah, you know, and a coworker would come and talk to me about the Lord. And I would be like, eh. But then I started to have dreams. I started to have vivid dreams, dreams of the rapture, dreams that the Lord came and I was left behind, dreams that the sky would split open, and just, oh, they were frightening. These dreams were so vivid. And I knew that God was calling me. And I, you know, even in myself, I said, if I don't get back to the Lord, this is it. I'm not going to make it. And so I said, Lord, I don't even know where to go. It was, mind you, from the time I left the church to where I'm talking about now, maybe about a good 25 years passed. So I didn't even know where to go. I was like, I don't even know what church to go to, because I tried to go back to the old church, and that they weren't there anymore. And I was like, oh man. And so I just happened to ask one of my coworkers. I was like, do you know of a church? I need to go to church. And she's like, what? And I was like, yeah, I need to go to church. And she was like, yeah, I know of a church in Queens. So she gave me the address. She said, you know what? I go there. I'll take you. And I was like, okay. And this poor girl would call me every Saturday night. Maria, it's Lillian. I'm calling to let you know, do you want to go to church tomorrow? And I would just let the phone pick it up and it would go straight to voicemail. And I was like, oh man, why did I give this girl my number? And I said, you know what? I'm just going to go. I'm going to go with her. And that's it. I'm just going to go. That way she stopped calling me and we'll just get this over with. And so I went with her to church. And the minute I walked into the building, I felt the Holy Spirit just fall on me. And I just broke down crying. And I just knew that, you know, God was calling me and I just needed to respond. And they had an altar call, and I went up and I gave my life to the Lord. And that's pretty much it. Yeah.
Let me ask you, some of the temptations and the alluring things that are out in the world. Now, many of our, you know, we're going to be going into prayer soon. And one of the common things that we hear from a lot of parents of prodigals, and of course they are prodigals because they went back into the world. What are some of the issues, or what are some of the temptations that tend to lure young people who were very involved in the church? Perhaps they were saved, or they used to come to church, and then for whatever reason they backslide, or they go back into the world. What are some of those things, do you think?
I think that, you know, the devil tries to make it seem like you're missing something. Like, you know, most people that I know that have grown up in church, they feel like they haven't experienced the world and they want to experience the world and then come back to the Lord. And that's very dangerous, because, you know, you think that the devil's going to make it easy for you to go back. I mean, he's going to do whatever it takes. And I think that's what it is. You think like you're missing something, like, and that's what happened to me. Like when I was going to church and I would see my friends in high school and I see them hanging out and it looked like fun, you know, meanwhile it was a trap, you know? And I'm like, wow, I want to see what's going on over there. And that just, the devil just, I opened that little small little crack and that was it. And the minute I left the church and I let the devil put in my head that God would never forgive me, that was it, because I kept like going back and forth. You know, I would go out and then come back to church and I would repent and then I would go back out and then I would repent and I would go. And, you know, he convinced me that God was done with me, and that's what happened. And so that's why I was ashamed to come back, because I figured that's it. Because we think that God thinks like we do, like, that's it, you're done. You know, I gave you a lot of chances. You know, you're out of here. And it's not like that, you know, and I didn't know that. I let the devil convince me that God was done with me.
That you were unsalvageable.
That I was unsalvageable. And then it just, I went down that rabbit hole, and I left a lot of parts out, but just, oh my goodness, you know?
Wow.
So.
What would you say, many of us, I know you had shared earlier and, you know, with me privately, and we're going to be praying for a variety of young people, which we'll be doing in a few moments. Now you have adult children, I assume, right?
I do. My daughter, she's 37.
Right.
Mm-hmm. My son is 19. He'll be 20 this year. Okay. So I guess he will be an adult soon.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's one of the biggest, you know, regrets that I have is that I didn't teach her anything about the Lord. I didn't, you know, she just saw angry, frustrated. I had nothing to give emotionally to her. And we don't have a relationship now because of that, you know. She she has every right to feel the way she does. I pray, I put her in God's hands, and I know that God has shown me that we will reconcile, you know, but God's timing is perfect. And so I never question God. That's one of the things I've learned as I've walked with the Lord. I don't question God in anything, because if I do, what I'm saying is that, God, you really don't know what you're doing, because if I were you, I would do it this way, or I would, you know, whatever. So I don't question God. God is so sovereign, and he's so perfect in everything that he does. And he knows when it'll be the right time for my daughter and my son to come to him. You know, I'm blessed because I'm able to talk to my son and pour into him. Mm-hmm. And I'm constantly calling him a man of God. You're going to be an evangelist. You're going to be a preacher. You're a man of God. You know, I speak life into him. You know, I don't look at the circumstances, because that can really, you know, the devil knows what he's doing. He's been around for thousands of years before you and I were even born. So he knows exactly how to get in our heads and make it seem like they're done. Nothing's going to happen there. And and I know better, because I know what the word of God says, and I believe the word of God. I just don't read it and be like, oh, you know, and I take it as information. I know that God is going to save my kids, and he knows them better than I do, and he can do a better job than I can. Mm. And so all I can do is continue, like the persistent widow, is to just keep on asking, and I will see it come to pass.
Now, what are their names again?
My daughter's name is Anne Marie De La Cruz, and my son is Andre Jackson.
Anne Marie and Andre.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we're going to be pushing that time now to lift them up in prayer. Anne Marie and
Andre.
Okay. I have short-term memory loss. You have to remind me of that. Okay. Now, you mentioned earlier, I want to ask you one more question before we go into prayer. And I've been there too. Discouragement, the enemy whispers in your ear, unsalvageable. What word of encouragement would you give parents of prodigals who are agonizing, maybe losing sleep at night over their unsaved or backslidden sons and daughters? What word of encouragement do you have for them?
I say, you know what? This is what I do. I pull up a chair and I actually visualize the Lord sitting across from me. And I pour all of that in. I just let him know how I'm feeling, because as human beings, you know, God put these emotions in us, worry and fear and you know, and anxiety. But I sit with him and I'm like, Lord, I feel so afraid for my children, Lord, and I just give it to Him, you know, and I just pour it a lot. And that would be my advice. Just pour out your feelings to the Lord, you know, and don't go to any other people, because sometimes you go to other people and they'll be like, yes, girl, yes, I know. And it makes it even worse. But, you know, ask God to help you to trust Him, because that's the thing. When you have those agonizing, you know, it's because you don't, I this is what I believe, that you don't think that God is really gonna do what He says He's gonna do. I mean, I'm just gonna be honest. That's what it is that we don't trust God to do what He says He's gonna do.
Well, no, that's,
and so
that's
you
true.
Have to help, ask Him to help you to trust Him and spend time with Him. Cause I think that's, for me, that's what helped me, spending time alone with Him and just pouring out my heart to Him and asking Him to help me. I was like, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Just like the gentleman did, the Pharisee did in the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Help my unbelief, Lord, because I know You can do this, because somebody prayed me back into the kingdom. Someone did, you know, and I'm here today. Thank God. Might've been a group of women intercessors that let's pray for all the prodigals. And God showed mercy towards me. So I believe that prayer, you know, God answers our prayers, but it's when it's His timing. He knows when our kids are ready for that. And I say that too, God, get a hold of my kids by any means necessary. And I mean that, because I'd rather them be saved than be lost. And however it is, if they end up, you know, in a bad situation, as long as they're saved, then that's all that matters to me, you know, and that's about it.
Wow. That's about it. That's a word of encouragement. A word of encouragement for me too, because I go through it as well many times. Well, again, Andre and Anne-Marie, you said?
Yes, sir.
Andre and
Anne-Marie.
Well, you know what? I'm going to lift them up in prayer during our prayer time.
Thank you.
We're going to go before the throne of grace right now with our numerous requests. We're going to go back and forth with our requests, and we're going to start off right now. I'm going to lift up in prayer two young men by the name of Joshua. And these two young men were struggling with substance abuse issues, and it's my understanding one of them, of course, does come to church, but we're going to lift them up in prayer. I won't divulge details. We tend to respect confidentiality, and you know, we don't want to embarrass anyone, but God knows the details. We're going to lift up, let's pray for both these young men named Joshua.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we just come before the throne of grace right now, Lord God, with these numerous requests. And now we're going to lift up in prayer these two young men by the name of Joshua, a warrior's name, Lord God. And we pray, Lord, while You know the issues that both these young men are facing, the strongholds that have them bound, Heavenly Father, Lord, the next event is the rapture, and You are not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So, Lord, we lift up both these young men named Joshua, and we pray that You move in both their lives. Do what is necessary to turn them both into Joshua's, Lord God, men of God who turn to You, who are surrendered to You, who are consecrated to You, Lord God, who are committed to You. Do whatever it takes, Heavenly Father. Do whatever it takes to transform, convict them of their sin and their waywardness, and lead them to the foot of the cross, Lord God.
Yes.
We just pray for both these two young men named Joshua.
Yes.
We commit them into Your hands for their deliverance and salvation, their restoration, Heavenly Father, and that, Lord, You just perform a miracle in both their lives. We don't know when it's going to happen. We don't know how, but we know it's taking place even now.
Yes, Lord.
We speak life into both these young men. In Jesus' name, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to have you pray for this next request. This request comes from a mom who lives in Australia. And mom has two daughters. We mentioned this earlier. The two daughters' name are Lily and Ruby. And these two young ladies were brought up in the faith. They were worship leaders in the church. And it wasn't that long ago. I mean, they were very involved. Well, about a year ago, they chose to leave their faith, and they went out nightclubbing with some friends. And now they are both back out in the world. And so mom, of course, mentions that she's been crying and agonizing for their restoration back into the faith, that the Lord moves in their lives. So if you can you pray for this mom who apparently the enemy is robbing her of the peace that passes all understanding, and also pray for these two young ladies that they return back to the faith.
Amen. Father, we just worship you, Lord. We lift up Lily and Ruby to you, oh God. Father, we know that the enemy, Lord, you have big plans for these young ladies, Father God, and he is trying his best to keep them from you, Lord. Father, I pray that you give them dreams and visions, oh God, just like you did for me, Father. You can do it for them, oh God. Father, they have an assignment, God, that goes out into eternity, Lord, and the enemy is trying to stop them from this, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you keep them from bad influences, that you keep them from the evil that men do, Father God, that you open their spiritual eyes and ears, oh God. They know the word, oh God. Father, I pray that you put people in their path, Lord, that'll speak life into them, Lord, that they realize, oh God, their need for you right now, Lord, because your coming is soon, oh God. Father, I pray against the enemy that tries to kill, steal, and destroy, Lord, what you have planted in them, Lord God. Father, and I pray for their mother, oh God, that you give her the peace, Lord, that you surround her with your Holy Spirit, oh God, that she can feel the weight of your glory as she prays for you, Lord. Father, that she not be weary, Lord, in her prayers, Lord, but that she be persistent, oh God, and continue to seek you, Father God, and ask you for mercy for her two daughters, oh Lord. Father, you don't just, Father, you know when the timing is right, oh God. And Father, you're not just going to leave them and forsake them, oh God. You're going to honor the prayers of their mom, Lord Jesus. I close all doors of the enemy on their lives, oh God. Those people that the devil has used as instruments to lure them away from you, Father God. Open their eyes so that they can see the plans of the enemy, Lord, and return to you, Lord. Father, strengthen them, oh God. Father, just like I said, put people in their path, Lord. Give them a desire to pray, Lord. Father, just give them no rest, oh God, that when they go to these places that they not enjoy themselves, that when they take a drink that it actually makes them ill, Father God, and that they begin to understand that they have to return to you, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you strengthen their mom, Lord God, that you strengthen her, Lord, that she not lose faith, oh God, that she not be distracted by what she sees, Lord, in the natural, Lord, because behind the scenes in the spiritual realm, there's a battle going on for her daughters right now, Father God. Angels with their swords unsheathed, Lord, ready to cut the head off of the enemy, Lord. Let her not give up in prayer, Lord God. And I pray this in the matchless and mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. Every week we pray for three young ladies. Their names are Gabby, Valentina, and Angela. Now, it's my understanding, Jesus, Valentina is the daughter of a dear brother in Christ who attends our church. And Valentina was facing several stronghold issues, and she surrendered her life to Christ.
Yes.
Excuse me. Mm-hmm. And is seeking the Lord. She has put up several posts, and she's reading her Bible and praying. So we need to pray her strength in the Lord. The other two young ladies, Gabby and Angela, were involved in issues. They had issues like depression or low self-esteem, hostility to the gospel, and just going about their business and living their lives. So I'm going to touch and agree with me right now for, yes, Valentina, Lord, Gabby, and Angela, three, yes, young ladies. Heavenly Father, yes, we lift, Lord, up these three young ladies, Lord God, and we lift up Valentina first and foremost. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for pulling down the stronghold that she was facing and just, yes, that held her back, Heavenly Father. We pray, Lord God, that you continue. We thank you for moving in her life, convicting her of her sin, and bringing her to the foot of the cross. And now we pray that you fill her with the knowledge of your will, strengthen her walk with you. Lord, she's put a post where she's been reading your word and praising you. And we pray that you continue to strengthen, nourish, comfort, encourage, fortify, guide, Lord God, in, yes, every way, Lord, shape, or form. Turn her into the woman of God that you would have her to be, Heavenly Father. We cancel any contract from the enemy that will try to lure her back into the world, whispering in her ear, oh, you're overdoing it, or come back, and that's enough.
Yes.
We rebuke the voices of the enemy, and
in
we just put,
Jesus,
a hedge of protection around Valentina as she remains steadfast, unmovable, yes, always abounding in the work of the Lord.
Yes.
We pray for these two young ladies, Gabby and Angela, Father, yes, facing, Lord, the emotional and mental and other issues that, Lord, that the enemy is using to hold them back.
Hallelujah.
We rebuke the forces,
yes,
of darkness,
Jesus,
and we pull down the strongholds.
Yes, Father,
do what it takes whatever it takes, Lord God, in any way, shape, or form, to bring Gabby and Angela to the foot of the cross, yes, where they surrender their lives to you, Lord God. We don't want them to get left behind when the rapture takes place. We don't want them entering a crisis eternity. Time is short, Lord God. Biblical prophecies being full before our very eyes, Lord. Bring to both their minds. Help them both to think about their eternal souls. Amen. Bring people into their lives who will witness to them. Help Christian family members to be salt and light before them, Lord God. We commit Gabby and Angela into your hands for their deliverance and salvation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Sister, I'm going to have you pray. We have a sister in Christ who tunes in. I'm not sure if she's listening now every week. She has a son by the name of Johnny. Johnny's an adult. I believe Johnny does live with his mom, but Johnny is facing the stronghold of alcoholism. By what I know, he does know the gospel, and mom has been praying for him. Thank God for praying moms.
Amen.
But she's been praying for her son, Johnny. But you know, we need to pray that the Lord convict him of his sin, deliver him from alcoholism, maybe even put in his heart to come to church. Touch and agree, please. Let's pray for John, his mom, and Johnny, that he be delivered and saved.
Yes, Lord. Once again, Father, we just lift up Johnny to you, Lord. Father, we ask you, Father, to break this chain of addiction, Lord, to alcohol, oh God. Father, we know that that's a spirit, oh God. That's a flesh-eating spirit, Lord. Father, we ask you, Lord, to just minister to Johnny, Lord God, to give him dreams in the night, oh God, to speak life into him, oh Lord. Father, and just to strengthen his mother, to her to continue to pray for him, Lord, not to give up, oh God. Father, that you open those prison doors, oh God, and let him just come into your presence, Lord, and worship and adore you, Father. They're saying that he knows your word, Father God, and we know that the devil's not going to let him go easy, Father. Father, I ask you, Lord, to set him free of this addiction of alcohol, Lord, to set his mind free, to set his spirit free, Lord God. Any spirit of rejection, any spirit of depression, Lord, whatever is causing him to seek solace in alcohol, oh God. Father, that he understand that you are bigger than this, oh God, that we can do nothing without you, Lord, that nothing is going to fulfill us, is going to satisfy us, only you, Father God. So I pray, Lord, that you continue to minister to him, put people in his path, Lord, that'll speak life into him, Lord. Father, let him not just take the taste right out of his mouth for alcohol, Lord. Father, we know that the devil is trying to take as many people as he can with him, Lord God. But we stand in the gap for Johnny, for all of those that are struggling with addiction to alcohol, Lord, that they be set free in the name of Jesus, oh God. Oh, thank you, Father, because we know even now, Lord, you hear our prayers, oh God. We know that even now you are hearing the prayers of his mom. Your word says that you catch our prayers, Lord, that you catch our tears, Lord. Father, I know that you're doing a great work in Johnny, oh God. And I know that when there's a major calling on a person's life, the devil will do whatever he can to keep them from it, Lord God. So we come against that right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord.
Every week we pray for a dear sister in Christ named China. China is the beautiful daughter of my dear brother Jamie, who's our sound technician, and his wife, my dear sister India. And I praise God, when we started this podcast about 2 years ago, one of the first requests we brought before the Lord was for China. And I remember the very day that my dear brother Jamie texted me that China had been delivered and accepted Christ as her Lord and Savior. It could be safely said that China is the first fruit of this ministry. Amen. And my dear brother Jamie and I spoke about starting this ministry. And it's a scary thing. He had mentioned to me, it's a scary thing to tell God, do whatever it takes, and, you know, to hand him over to the Lord. So
amen.
I'm going to touch and agree. Let's pray together for China,
amen,
thanking God for her salvation and praying for her strength in the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you for praying parents who stayed on their knees and prayed for their daughter. Lord, I thank you and we praise you for delivering and saving China, Lord God, for bringing her before the throne of grace, Lord God. She's going to get raptured. We're going to look to our right and to our left, and she'll be caught up together in the clouds. She'll be in attendance at the marriage supper of the Lamb. She'll be spending eternity. There's a mansion. There's a room for her. Lord, you say you provided a place in heaven for all of us. In my Father's house are many dwelling places, and China has a dwelling place in eternity. Thank you, Lord God, for China's salvation. But Lord, there will always be a counterattack. Ground that is gained through prayer must be held by prayer.
Yes,
and now Lord, we lift China up in prayer, Lord God.
Yes, Father.
We pray for her strengthening, her protection. Again, Lord God, help China to be strong, steadfast, and unmovable in the work of the Lord. Fill her with the knowledge of your will. Strengthen her with all grace and truth, Lord God. Make her a prayer warrior. Make her a woman of the word.
Yes,
turn China into a Ruth, an Esther, a Mary, every woman of God, a Priscilla, Lord God. Turn China into a powerful, consecrated, committed, fortified, strong woman of God. Put a battalion, an army of angels around her, protecting her from every attack and every onslaught that the enemy would launch to try to lure her back out into the world. Lord, let your word dwell in her richly.
Yes,
Lord. And bring it to her remembrance when temptation comes, or when discouragement comes, or when the enemy attacks her.
Yes,
Lord. Let your word come to her remembrance. Let the meditations of her heart be pleasing to you, Heavenly Father. Strengthen her. Strengthen her, Lord God. Give her an upper room experience, Heavenly Father. The power of the Holy Spirit falling on her, indwelling her, encouraging her, and guiding her daily. We commit China into your hands, Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name. And we thank you and we praise you. We know you're doing it even now, and we'll continue to do it.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
This request, Sister Maria, comes from parents. They wanted you to pray for their daughter, Margaret. And it says here, Margaret was saved several years ago, but she has struggled with an alternative lifestyle most of her teenage years. And now she's 20 years old and she's moved away and she's back out into the world. And so apparently what we have here, please pray that God removes this stronghold away and replaces it with his truth. She's believed the lies of the enemy. And so we need to pray for Margaret's restoration back into the faith, her deliverance and her restoration.
Okay, she's same.
What was that?
She's living. I don't know what the other.
Okay. Yes, her name is
Margaret. You know, it's funny because I was. I had heard a testimony of a young lady who was living an alternative lifestyle, and God showed her a vision. And I just want her. If Margaret is listening, I hope that she will one day. And for all of those that are, and God says that He created male and female to be fruitful and multiply and to recreate and reproduce so that they can share the good news of his son, Jesus Christ. But the devil is wiping out entire family bloodlines and generations of people that he intended to be born. They will not exist for his glory. So, Father, I just come against that spirit, Lord. The devil is just trying to wipe out bloodlines, generations of people that were supposed to be born to worship you, Lord. Father, I come against that spirit right now in the name of Jesus, oh God. Father, you have Margaret in your sights, oh Lord. Father, strengthen her parents as they pray for her, as they seek your counsel, as they come to you, Father, crying out for their daughter, Margaret, Lord. And I pray for all of those who are being deceived to think that this is what they're supposed to be, that this is how they were born. Father, that's a lie from the enemy, Lord, is to keep generations and bloodlines from being born that were supposed to be created to worship you, Lord. Father, strengthen her parents, oh God. Father, reach down, Lord, and touch Margaret, Lord. Open her spiritual eyes and ears, oh God, that she may hear you, Lord, speaking to her, Lord. Father, that she may be understanding her need for you, Lord God. And all those that are trying to influence her to be away from you, because we know that Satan will have instruments that he uses to try to lure us away and make us think that these are truths, Lord. Father, I pray against that right now in the name of Jesus, Lord. Father, bring her back to your sheepfold. She is your daughter, Lord God. Father, and we know that you're going to save her, Lord, because you honor the prayers of her parents, oh God. And for all those that are praying for their their children who are living alternative lifestyles, whether they be young or whether they be adults, oh God. Father, I pray, Lord, that you strengthen them, oh God. Father, just do what only you can do in the life of Margaret and all of those, Lord. You know what you have in store for her. You know the plans you have for her, Lord. Just encourage her parents, Lord God, to continue to pray and not to give up, oh God. I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Every week we pray for a young man by the name of Edgar. Edgar is the adult son of a dear couple. Married couple that come to Soul Purpose, my dear brother Frank and his wife Rose. Now, Edgar knows the gospel and he knows the word of truth, but he is not born again. And so his parents have been trying to get him to come to church. Amen. And so I'm going to touch and agree right now. We're going to pray for Edgar that he come to a knowledge of the truth. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much again for praying parents. These parents, Lord, Frank and Rose, who are praying for their adult son, Edgar. And now, Lord God, we just lift him up before you. Let every stronghold of the enemy that is working to make the mind of Edgar resist from receiving you, Lord God, be pulled down in the name of Jesus. Send a coworker his way who's a believer. Send a neighbor who his way who's a believer. Lord. Send a friend, Lord God. Send somebody. Let him hear a Christian song. Let him be given a gospel track, Lord God. Speak to him in the watches of the night. Heavenly Father, give him a dream and a vision. Whatever it takes, Lord God, give Edgar absolutely, positively, undeniably, most certainly no rest. No rest at all.
Yes, Lord.
Help him to see that his life is empty without you, Lord God. You are the Prince of Peace. You came that we may have life and have life abundantly, Lord God. Yes, Lord, remove the whispers and the lies of the enemy that are telling him maybe he has enough time or he doesn't need to return to you right now or he's fine the way he is. We rebuke all these deceptions, the spirit of deception, the voices of deception that are in Edgar's mind right now, Lord God. Convict him of his sin. Weigh him down to the point where he cannot resist any longer. It is difficult to kick against the goads.
Yes.
That's what you said to the Apostle Paul, Lord God. Break down the resistance. Open the closed mind. Soften the hardened heart.
Lord,
open the closed eyes.
Yes, Lord.
Do whatever it takes, Lord God, so that Edgar receives you.
Yes, Lord.
And surrenders his life to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Lord. Amen.
Amen.
And amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We had this request that came in a while back. There was a young man by the name of Matthew, and his mom had told us a while back that Matthew was struggling with thoughts of suicide. Matthew was involved in the occult at one time. There were several legal issues. He was in jail, I believe. But, you know, sometimes God uses those things to draw us to him. But mom, of course, being a parent, like any parent, you don't want to see your children go through all that suffering. And so, sister, if you'll please pray for this mom that's seeing her son go through all this, to trust in the process and then pray for her son, Matthew, for his deliverance and salvation.
Amen, Father. Lord, sometimes you have to corner us, oh God. Sometimes you have to corner us to get our attention, Lord. Father, I pray that Matthew's mom sees that this is God's mercy, oh Lord, that this is your mercy and your love for him, oh God, because he can be out there and someone can do harm to him, Lord. So, Father, you are protecting him in the way that you know to do what you do, Father God. So I pray that she not lose hope, Father God. Increase her faith, Lord. Increase her relationship. Increase her faith, Father. I hear, increase her faith, Lord, that she believe your word, Father God, that if we believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, we and our households will be saved, oh God. Let her stand on your promises for her son, oh God. Let her not give up, Father. Let her not look with natural eyes and see what's happening, Lord, and get discouraged, oh God. Father, let her understand that all things work together for the good, oh God. And sometimes those things are not things that we agree with, Lord, but we know that you are a sovereign God and that you will do what it takes to save a life, oh God. And especially when there are parents that are praying for that son or daughter, Lord God, you will honor their prayers, Lord. Father, that door that was opened by Matthew, Lord, the occult, oh God, Father, that he closed that door, oh God. Father, we come against any spirit, oh God, that has come through those doors of the occult, Lord, that have that are strangling him right now, oh God, that have put their hooks into him, Father God. We come against that right now, Father. We bind the spirit of occultism, Lord, knowing that those are demons that come in, Father God. Father, that he surrendered to you, that he surrendered his life to you, Lord. Father, that you open his eyes, that he may see, Lord. It's the need that we have for you, Lord. We could do nothing without you, oh God. Father, save him, oh God. Reach down, Lord, and touch him, Lord. Soften his heart, open his mind, Lord. Break the chains, oh God, that are binding him, Lord God, that have him in a spiritual prison, oh Lord. Father, we pray, Lord, knowing that you are able, Lord God, to do all things, Lord. We know, Father God, and we trust in your word, Father. I pray that his mom trust in your word and trust in the process that you have for her son, Lord, and that there will be a victory, Lord, in his life, Lord, that she will see him saved, Lord, sanctified in serving you, oh God. And I pray this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Andre and Anne Marie, right?
Yes, sir.
Excuse me.
Thank you, Lord.
I know you had shared earlier your burden for both of them, your son and your daughter. Amen. And so I'm going to pray. We're all going to touch and agree and pray for both their deliverance and salvation, you, for restored relationships as well. Lord. Heavenly Father, we worship and we praise you. We thank you for a praying mom, Lord God.
Thank you,
Jesus. A saved, sanctified mom who's filled with the Holy Spirit, Lord God. And we just touch and agree for her continued strength, her continued faith, her continued fortitude and perseverance to believe. Lord, your word says in Psalm 25, verse 3, and I said it earlier, no one who trusts in you will be put to shame. And so you will bring to pass what you have promised. So right now we touch and agree for both these two children, Andre and Anne Marie. We first pray, Lord God, that you reach out and touch them. You see whatever hindrance is in their lives that is keeping them from turning to you, Lord God, no matter what it is, Father, no matter what it is, remove all hindrances, Lord God. Remove all hindrances that are coming between their hearts and the gospel, that everything be melted away. We rebuke the forces of darkness that are at work in their lives right now. Convict both of them of their sin. Bring people their way who will witness to them. Bring people their way who will be salt and light, Lord God. Lord, salt that will create thirst, that they'll see people's lives transformed, Lord God, and light guiding them. Heavenly Father, send believers their way. It could be a co-worker, could be a friend, could be a stranger. It could be a street meeting. Put a burden in their hearts to come to church, any church, Lord God, where your word is preached and spirit-filled. Bring them to the point where they both turn to you. Convict them of their sin. Open up their eyes to the emptiness of their lives, Lord God. We pray specifically for Anne Marie, Heavenly Father. We pray that you touch her heart. If the heart is hardened, soften it, Lord God. Create in her a heart of flesh, Lord God. Open up her closed mind. If it's closed to a restored relationship with her mom, open it up, Lord God. Open up her mind to the gospel. Any resistance, any hindrance, any bitterness, any anger, melt it away, Lord God. Holy Spirit fire, melting away anything that is hard as rock, that is cold as ice. Convict them both, Lord God. Let them both receive you as their Lord and Savior. Do whatever it takes, Lord God, in their lives, no matter what it is. Help us to trust you with the process and the timing, Heavenly Father. We commit Andre and Anne Marie into your hands. We know you're working. It may not seem that way, Lord God. Father. Like that Christian song says, even when we can't see it, you're working. Even when we can't feel it, you're working. You never stop working, Lord God. Help us to believe that, not just say it. Give my dear sister Maria the peace that passes all understanding. Drop the assurance in her heart that it's going to happen, Lord God. She already has it. Now continue to strengthen her. She trusts you with the process. She trusts you with the timing. Bring it to pass, Lord God. Let it happen. In Jesus' name, we thank you and we praise you because we know it's happening even right now. Amen. There's something going on. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Last but not least, we have a mom in Texas. She tunes in regularly. We call her Texas Mom. For a while there, mom had a son named Curtis. Curtis was... how we say in Spanish, por ahí. He was out there. Mm-hmm. He was living in sin. A lot of issues. Well, mom and you know, a variety of believers here at Parents, but we pray for Curtis's deliverance and salvation. And Curtis surrendered his life to Jesus Christ a while back. God. And God even opened up doors for him. He has a good paying job. Amen. He is, his life is being restored and blessed. So God works in a variety of ways. He convicted Curtis of a sin. He surrendered his life to him, opened up the doors for a good paying job. And we need to pray for Curtis's continued deliverance and strengthening. And we need to pray for this Texas mom that she continued to persevere in continuing to pray for her son. So we don't know this mom's name. Texas mom. We call her Texas mom, and her son's name is Curtis. Sister, lead us in prayer.
Amen. That's so amazing, Father. We just thank you for the life of Curtis, oh God, and for his mother, Lord. Thank you for her life, Lord, her persistent prayer, Lord. Father, this is the time when we even more have to pray, oh God, because we know that the enemy is going to try whatever he can do to get him to just go back, Father God. But we know, Lord, that you are a mighty God, Father. I bless the life of Curtis, Lord. Continue to minister to him, Lord. Continue to just pour into his life and bring people around him that'll disciple him and just lead him, Lord God, and preach the word, Father God, the sound doctrine of your word, Lord. Father, that he can see you in everything that he does and glorify your name, Lord. And let his mom just know that you are working in her son. That's just so amazing, Father God. She sees your hand in her son, Lord. Father, just give her the strength to continue to pray, Lord, because this is where it gets even more hard, Lord. When our kids come to the Lord, we know that the devil is going to try whatever he can, Father, but we stand in agreement, Lord. We just pray for her son, Lord, that you continue to minister to him and use him, Lord, and just bring him to the plans that you have for him, oh God, because he has a mighty work to do, Lord. And we know that you're going to bring it to pass, Lord, because your word never falls to the ground, Lord. It does what it says it's going to do, and it completes it until the day of Jesus Christ. So we thank you for them, Lord. We continue to pray for his mom, just that you strengthen her, Lord, that you strengthen her faith, oh God, that she just continue to pray for her son. I'm just so excited for what you're going to do in his life, Lord. And I thank you for Curtis, Lord. And I pray this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much. Amen. Well, we've reached the conclusion of this edition of the Parents of Prodigals podcast, and we have gone over by about half an hour, but that's to be expected. You know, we don't tell the Holy Spirit, listen, stop moving. Amen. It's been an hour already. We follow the Spirit's leading. Amen. And that's what we did. So I want to thank my dear sister, Maria de la Cruz, for being on this podcast this evening. The next time we'll be on the air will be next Thursday, April 18th at 7:00 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And I just want to ask my dear Sister Maria, do you have any closing thoughts?
Amen. I just want to just continue to encourage everyone to take the promises of God. Take the promises of God and pray. You know, how we walk here on earth affects what goes on in heaven. So give no place to the accuser in your life. You know, just he's going to try to discourage you. And he's going to try to put into focus what's happening in the natural. But we have a mighty God. We serve a mighty God. And so believe in the promises of God. Stand on his word. Know that he's going to do what he says he's going to do. And like I said, don't question the Lord. He knows way better how to get a hold of our children and all of the situations that we have better than we can. So I just want to encourage you to continue to pray and don't give up. Don't give up. Be like the persistent widow who just kept going to the judge and seeking justice. God's going to bring it to pass, and he's going to save all of our children. I believe that with every fiber of my being. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for
having
your insights and for gracing us with your presence and those closing thoughts. Amen. And again, the next time we'll be on the air will be next Thursday, April 18th at 7:00 p.m. Until then, if you're the parent of an unsaved son and daughter, and you live in New York, California, North Carolina, South Carolina, Oklahoma, Massachusetts, Connecticut, West Virginia, Utah, Ohio, and you're burdened for their deliverance and salvation, if you're the parent of an unsaved, backslidden, or wayward son and daughter, and you live in Texas, Maryland, Nebraska, or Alabama, Illinois, Minnesota, Louisiana, New Hampshire or Oregon, Washington State or Rhode Island. If you're the parent, mother or father, or guardian of an unsaved, backslidden, or wayward young person, a son and daughter, and you want their names written in the book of life, your burden for their deliverance and salvation, you want them to get raptured, you want them to spend eternity with the Lord, and you live in Michigan, New Mexico, Kentucky, Arkansas, Mississippi, or Wyoming. If you're the parent of a prodigal son and daughter, and you live in Mexico, Canada, Uganda, Australia, New Zealand, Ireland, Russia, Japan, Tanzania, the Philippines, Bosnia-Herzegovina, or the United Kingdom, if you're the parent of an unsaved, prodigal, or wayward son and daughter, and you live in the next house, the next town, the next city, the next state, across the border, or overseas, if you are the parent of a prodigal son and daughter, and you want their names written in the book of life, you want them to have eternal life, to know the joy of salvation, and you want them delivered, saved, and sanctified. If you are the parent of a prodigal, continue in prayer, being watchful therein, and watch the road. Watch the road. Your prodigal will be on it. Until next Thursday, April 18th at 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time. This is Brother Alan Weir with my dear brother Jamie, our sound technician, and my dear sister Maria de la Cruz. Yeah. On behalf of all of us at Parents of Prodigals, wishing you a good night and God bless. Good night.